Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
You'll spend your life as a dad trying to get your name out of your Harley, your hobbies, your stuff, because you don't feel like you can even connect with your wife. Because without that identity and that name that comes out of the revelation of how God sees you.
That's a powerful insight from Ed McGlasson. And today here on the Homeward Broadcast, we're going to be talking about something that especially is of importance to men. And ladies, if you're married to a guy who is, maybe he fits the description you just heard right now, you are going to be blessed by what you're going to hear from pastor and author Ed Tandy McGlasson. We're going to be talking about finding the father you've always wanted and actually helping guys figure out who their name really is in their relationship with the Lord. From the studios of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. We'll have information at the close of the program today about Ed's most recent book and also how Dr. Jim Burns is going to tie all this together for you in terms of how to get a better relationship going with your dad, even if your dad's not around anymore. Now here's Jim.
Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns, smiling today because I love having Ed McGlasson on. Ed Tandy McGlasson has written a wonderful book. It's called The Father You've Always Wanted. It's a new book, How God Heals Your Father Wounds. I can't think of a better person in the world, not just America, but in the world, to be with me today to talk about this subject. He's a former NFL lineman who currently pastors the Stadium Vineyard in Anaheim, California, local to where our studio is. He's a sought-after speaker, creator of the Blessing of the Father Conference, which, by the way, is incredible, and I'm going to recommend that you go to his website and learn more about this. He's authored a couple of books. He's married to his wife, Jill. I've been married for nearly 30 years, and they make their home in Orange, California, with five children. Ed, great to have you back with us.
Hey, it's great to be here.
You know, I always look forward to a conversation with you because you motivate me, but sometimes it scares me. I mean, I was just looking at a statistic that I got out of your book, The Father You've Always Wanted, and half of the kids in America will go to bed tonight without a father in their home. I mean, talk about how we got to that point in our culture.
You know, it's one of the secrets that the devil wants to keep us locked into is that we are where we've come from, and that's all it is. The scientific world now wants to, you know, blatantly in the radio say, well, you are your genetics. I love Ravi Zacharias's kind of response to Dawkins recently, where Dawkins says, well, you are your genetics. You're just going to, your genetics. And Ravi's response to him, well, that's just more proof that you must be born again.
Interesting.
Yeah. And so because of that, if your life is about where you came from and you didn't have a dad who loved you or a mom who knew how to nurture you, then your whole future is locked in that story. And so you live more out of the curses of the father or the mother, and not really who Christ has made us to be, the 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Now, don't you find that a lot of fathers want to love, they don't know how to love? So we have a lot of people who have a deficit, not because their dad was some evil, rotten person, but they just, honestly, they weren't loved by their own father. They didn't have role models, and so they didn't pass it on to their own kids.
Yeah, I haven't met a dad yet who didn't want to bless his kids.
Yeah. Right.
But when you don't get a name as a man from your dad,
yeah,
or you get your name from the world, kind of the broken way of living is you get your name from your toys, your job, your money, your car. And what if you lose that? Well, then you lose who you are. But when you don't get that identity that's supposed to be transferred through the blessing of the father through your father, you'll use every emotional relationship and interaction to find out who you are.
Yeah, and you know, in your own life, I know that you were an NFL football player, and even now you're doing some coaching, kind of the youth coaching, and you mentioned in your book that basically after the first week of practice, you can tell if the boys had the blessing from their father or not.
Yeah, it's their own internal talk when they make mistakes.
Interesting.
Is a model of the way their father spoke over their life. You know, when my son Edward was about 8, 9 years old, and I write about this in my book, he came to church one day with something wrapped in a Trader Joe's bag, and it was Nintendo. And I said, well, what are you doing? He said, I'm taking it to church, Dad. there's a poor boy in the church who will never be able to have one, so I want to give this to him. Now I'm thinking, this is a family gift, number one. It's $199.99.
So exactly. You paid for it.
and every game's like $45, $50.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, and I said, son, what do you mean? Why are you doing this? He says, well, God spoke to me. And I said, I've never heard my 8-year-old say this. I said, so yeah. I woke up this morning. I said, what did he say? And he shouted, Jim, and said, Edward, give away your Nintendo. And when he said that to me, I'm driving to church. I just start bawling.
Yes.
Because, Jim, that was my voice of driving my son like a coach, the way my stepfather drove me as a coach. And he was learning to hear the voice of God through that filter. Instead of God the Father speaking through the way a loving dad would speak to a son, he was coming the way a coach. And it started to frame his world that if I didn't do what God wanted to do, I'm toast. And I just went, I remember just driving in going, Lord, I got to learn a whole new way of being a dad.
And it came from your own experience, Ed, your background, your father, birth father died. You were raised with a stepfather. Not necessarily horrible people, but you didn't receive a blessing from them.
No, my stepdad struggled with his identity. To this day, yeah. He struggles with his identity.
Yeah.
His father at 13 years old found out he was afraid of the water, took him to a bridge outside of Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Wow.
Threw him out of the truck into the river to try to man him up.
Yeah.
And yells at him as he's falling, sink or swim, die or try. It's up to you, boy, if you make it. I remember when he told me that story, the look in his face. It wasn't joy. It was terror.
Yeah.
And is it any wonder that he ended up going into the military?
Sure.
In submarine service, under the water.
Right, right. Isn't
that to that audience. And see, what I didn't get as a dad, and what a lot of dads don't understand, is that their voice and the way they bless their children frames for them the way God speaks to them.
Yeah, right.
It can be a good filter or it can be a really bad one.
Right. I remember a time when my daughter Rebecca was praying and she was about 14. And those were times in her life where when she was little, she prayed every night with us.
Yeah.
Other times she'd go, okay, you guys can pray. You know, it was this thing. But she said, I'll pray. We're kind of doing a little holy huddle. And she says, dear daddy, I mean, dear God. And we kind of giggle. And Kathy leans over and says, you know, her God looks like a bald-headed nerdy guy, meaning that's what I look like. But in reality, how, you know, if we're tender to him. One of the things you said in your book, The Father You've Always Wanted, is, you know, you said, it's hard for dads sometimes to say, I love you. If they didn't hear from their own father, it's hard to say, I love you and transfer that.
That's right.
Talk about that.
You know, I that's one of the things I hear in my conferences everywhere I go.
Yeah.
And that's girls and guys.
Yes, yes.
But when you don't have a dad who knew how to be emotionally available to you.
Yes.
So guess what he does? He uses the same old tool. Does it the same way to his kids. And yet kids today, they're even in high school today. I was with one of the educators recently on a train in Atlanta. We were changing planes and we started talking and she asked me what I did. And I said, well, I'm a cultural revolutionary. And she goes, what's that? I go, well, I'm trying to bring healing into the home where the wound of the father has dominated families for centuries. And she said, that's interesting. She said, I'm an educator and in charge of the curriculum for Southern California and all of middle and high schools. And I said, you're kidding me. I said, so how's it going? She goes, well, we just finished a 5-year study. And we've determined that 80% of the children going to a current school system in California are almost incapable of learning. And I said, is that a scholastic issue? She said, no. They go to school for one reason, Ed, to build a family they don't have at home. They're so wounded by the lack of a present father and even a loving, nurturing mother. They're all being driven privately at home.
Right.
They come to school to build friends,
right.
i.e. Facebook, Twitter.
Sure, sure. You know, it's interesting you say that. I have a daughter who's 30 now, and she teaches middle school in Santa Ana, California, and she works in a barrio. And so many of the kids that she works with, they don't know who their dad is.
Yeah.
And their moms are good people, but they're working two and three jobs. And she's beginning to see it at the middle school ages that really good kids, smart kids, wonderful kids, kids who want to please her as a teacher, are moving into gangs. Why? Because it's their family. They're not doing it because they're evil and they want to shoot people and they want to do all this stuff. They just so badly need to be accepted someplace.
Right. They want a name, Jim.
Yeah. Talk about this name.
See, we've been made by God to be named, you know, and to receive our name from him. And so when we're raised in a home and we don't have a dad who names us by the way God's made us, I mean, I do a little survey at all of my men's conferences, and I go, what is the number one name? And here's five choices. Here's put in there five choices that you were called as a child. Number one name, and I won't say it online, it's A.H.
Is that right?
And these are guys in church. That's what my dad used to call me all the time, or stupid, or come in here, idiot, nitwit, or some kind of. And the father, just because he emotionally doesn't know who he is. And that's what happens. You'll spend your life as a dad trying to get your name out of your Harley, your hobbies, your stuff, because you don't feel like you can even connect with your wife. Because without that identity and that name that comes out of the revelation of how God sees you.
So that's beautiful. We're going to have to take a break. We'll be right back. Ed Tandy McClassen with us. We're talking about a book of his, brand new book called The Father You've Always Wanted, How God Heals Your Father Wounds. And by the way, it's a great book. Roger, tell us about it.
Well, when you go to homeward.com and hit the radio broadcast tab today, that takes you right to the broadcast listing. You'll see Ed's name, and it's hotkeyed, as they say, which means it's blue and underlined. You click onto Ed's name, and it takes you right to his website. You'll find more information about this book, The Father You've Always Wanted. Anything that Ed writes, we highly recommend here at Homeward. And again, you can get that process started at homeward.com or call us for more information, 800-397-9725. We've got a lot more content to cover. Let's get right back into it now. Here at the conclusion of today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast, parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns, our topic once again, finding the father you've always wanted.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Incredible conversation today. Ed McGlasson we're talking with, finding the father you've always wanted, and in some ways being the father you've always wanted. His book is called The Father You've Always Wanted, How God Heals Your Father Wounds. As I said at the beginning of the broadcast, I can't think of a better person to deal with this particular issue. He's written other books, one both memorable, both I've read, The Difference a Father Makes and Beloved, Embracing God's Unconditional Love and Acceptance. He's been married to his wife Jill for nearly 30 years and makes his home in Orange, California, not too far from the studios here at Homeward. Ed, you talk about father wounds, and you know enough about family ministry where I see people who have father wounds. I don't think they even know they have a father wound a lot of times. Describe to us what you mean by a father wound, and how on earth do you get healed from these father wounds?
Well, when you know, father wound for me, I'll kind of tell you how I discovered it, was after, it's when we aren't clear about who we are, we end up making life about us. And when you're a parent and you make parenting about you, boy, you're in trouble, because you're going to drive your children. You're not going to connect with God and lead your children. And Edward was about 11 years old and wasn't doing what I wanted to do. And one of the things that I hated about myself was that when my kids didn't behave according to whatever my criteria was, this rage happened inside of me. And it was a rage, not that I was angry at them for not performing. It was a rage that was centered on them making me look bad as a dad. And so I remember this one bad moment with Edward, and I went in and just blasted him and went back to my study to try to work on my sermon. And I was so disgusted with myself. And my son's crying in the room next to me. And I just cried out to God, and I said, God, why did I do that? And the Lord, the Father I've always wanted, just interrupts me in that moment and says, well, see, Ed, you've learned how to hear my voice through the broken filter of your stepfather when he was drunk and angry. You see, Ed, the way you talk to yourself when no one's looking is the way it'll leak out when everybody hears. And man, I remember crying out. And then I heard this from him: if you learn how to hear the voice of the Father, I'll make you the kind of dad that makes a difference. And he gave me this quick snapshot of my whole world. My marriage was about finding my name and my wife. My church was about finding my name in my pulpit. My kids were about finding my name in their performance. My kids perform well. I'm the father of the professional athlete, right?
Right.
And it wasn't, my heart was broken. And that wound keeps us centered on us. And I learned something recently in an interaction, and we were having to confront a leader, and he had some personal issues. And this guy looks at me and he says, you know, before you confront him, you have to not need him to repent before you're ready to go. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, if your identity is attached to his receiving the word of the Lord that you have for him, and he doesn't, your anger will come up, and the next thing you do, you'll make a mess of this. See, learning how to see the Father working in the life of a person, the reason why Jesus never had those moments was that his identity wasn't tied into the repentance of the people around him, because his identity was secure in him being the beloved. So without a father wound, you offer the kingdom, and if they receive it, oh, praise the Lord. Yeah. If they don't, you offer it a different way.
Yeah.
You never quit, right? That kind of thing. So that's kind of what I mean by it.
You know, I've thought about this for years with you, but, you know, today we were here actually in my office. We're not in our studio, but in my office here, we're having this conversation. I came over, gave you a hug, and you said, beloved. And then you say that to other people. Talk about that incredible name, beloved. You just said, as God calls you, beloved. But to talk about why you do
it's that. It's a Greek word, agapetos, you know, that's and it was a story that I came across kind of in my brokenness of the voice, the audible voice of the Father in heaven speaking over Jesus in the river. And I remember reading that at his baptism, going, why the voice? Because I was looking for a model. I've read all these dad books by great authors, but it was all about what I had to do. It wasn't about what I had to become to be a dad. It was about what I have to do to look like a dad, right? And you need to have this heart. You need to do these things. And I'd read the first chapter and then put it in my library and try to bring it up and do something else. And then when I saw this moment with Jesus, I said, well, why did he call him beloved? And the two times in the New Testament that the Father did audibly speak, and both was the manifestation of the entire Trinity, Christ the Son in the river coming out, the Father speaking, you are my beloved Son whom I love, and the Holy Spirit gracing that moment. And I was like, what's this all about? And in my study and in a connection with a Jewish rabbi friend, Messianic rabbi friend, having lunch one day, I asked him why that was there, and he looks at me and he smiles. And he says, for thousands of years, Jewish fathers have been calling out their sons with the same name that God the Father spoke over Yeshua in that river, beloved. Jesus was renamed beloved. He could have called him King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He was all those things. But his prime identity was that he was the beloved of God. And I went, well, how? For me, I mean, my dad was killed in action. How am I going to have that encounter for me? You know, my dad's dead. My stepfather was stuck in a bottle. How am I going to have that interchange? And you know this story, but the night before my dad crashed his plane in 1956, he circled a single word in a story in the book of Matthew, and looked at my mother, who was pregnant with me, and kissed her goodnight. And then he took off the dog tags that I now have on my neck, laid them on the bedside table, and went out the next morning to fly his jet. Never knew why he took off these dog tags. And he went out the next day, and at about 1:15 in the afternoon, had to make a life and death choice about whether or not to take the plane in, and really, he had to give his life for that, because the beaches were filled with people on Memorial Day weekend, or to bail out and try to save his life. His last words on earth were, this is November, Papa, take it in. And my dad died 57 years ago on Memorial Day weekend. So I was kind of raised underneath this, you know, I have to kind of live up to my dead dad in heaven, right? Which can really screw up a kid, you know. You know, you got to live up to a hero that...
Right.
that was only 28 years old when he gave his life to the country. And, you know, fast forward, I'm 40 years old. 17 years ago, I'm in front of a group of high school kids, and I happen to read the story of a word that my dad circled, that single word, and it was a story of Peter watching something walking up and down on the water in the Sea of Galilee, and it was Jesus walking on water. And we got close to the boat. Peter said, "If it's really you, command me to walk on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." That was a word my dad circled. And I'm in front of these high school kids in this meeting. And all I can tell you is that the Father I never knew, the Father I always wanted, visited me in that moment and said, "Ed, the last word your father heard was the word come." And that's what I've called your life for, to call people to come to me. And then he said, "From this moment on, you're no longer a football player." See, that was the name I named my whole life by. "You are my beloved son in whom I love." And the same word, agapetos, beloved, he extended from heaven on me. And I was undone, sobbing uncontrollably. And not only had I been born again in college and met Christ, there's part of that experience he wants for all of us. I also got to receive the adoption that I never got. My mother never let my stepfather adopt me. So I was really an orphan. And just kind of fast forward, a couple of years ago, I was speaking at a ministry that's no longer there, a ministry to gay men. And I was walking up on the stairs and my dog tags were jingling. And it stopped me in my tracks. And the Father just speaks to me and he says, "I let your dad come home early so I could be your dad." I felt like I had this Joseph moment, you know, where he's standing now in front of his brothers and he realized that prison was okay. You know, being falsely accused was okay. Being second, that he, God could use him through his pain. That's what God loves to do to us, Jim, is to take a part of our stories that the world says, this guy will never matter in this arena. And he then becomes our father so that we can be a father to others. And then he said to me, "And go now and tell them that I'm the father they've always wanted." And that's why I, you know, do the ministry we do, the conferences and the book. And to watch people, I can't tell you how many, it's been, you know, tens of thousands of people we've been in front of, who get to let their dad off the hook for their broken name, who get to let their mothers off the hook. And not only that, to receive an identity that Paul transferred to all of his spiritual sons. Paul writes to Timothy, "Hey, Timothy, my beloved in the Lord. Philemon, my beloved in the Lord." There was this fatherly, you know, discipleship that went father to spiritual son to spiritual daughter that our culture's lost today. And when you get that for you, then you get to be who you are as a son. The most anointed Jim is not Radio Jim or Father Jim. It's beloved.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a great comment. It's a wonderful comment. So oftentimes we close this broadcast with me making some comments, but you heard Ed McGlasson talk about beloved, and may you know that you're beloved. Roger, I feel like we've been walking on holy ground. I've got to ask Ed to come back so we can keep talking. But I think that's the desire of so many people's hearts. They want that name, and that name is for the asking. And God is there calling you beloved even now, and you may not feel like you're very beloved with what you've done or who you are or what your name is, but it's a broken name. And I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are God's beloved.
And Jim, as you mentioned, the fact that we are broken without that beloved name attached to us, God's in the restoration and redemption business. That's what he's all about. That's what salvation's all about. And if you are looking for answers about making a decision to receive Christ and get that new name, I encourage you to check out our online resource center today at homeward.com. Go to the articles and media section. You'll find a number of different helps for you, frequently asked questions about faith, And also you'll find information in the radio broadcast section today about Ed's book, The Father You've Always Wanted. It's by Ed Tandy McGlasson. You can search it anywhere, but we've got a link to it on our website today at homeward.com. Take some time, if you haven't been there recently, to browse a while. And we've got so many different materials and resources available. Many of them, not most of them, are available without cost at homeward.com. And now for Dr. Jim Burns, our engineer Ben Camp, and the rest of the staff, I'm Roger Marsh. Thanks so much for listening. Join us again next time right here for another edition of Homeward, where parents get real answers. Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.